shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Welcome yet again to another edition of the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. Visit us, get a backstage pass, and watch live streaming video right now of this broadcast in all of its glory. I'm wearing my Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie here tonight, as you can see, and I would suggest you go over to our shop and pick up your hoodie before the hoodies are all gone from the hood, you know. Now, coming up next month, just in time, perhaps, for Valentine's Day, very special item in our shop, a Bobby Dooley item. I think you'll like it. We were just looking at them today, and I think you're going to be very, very pleased. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And naturally, the president was on stage today. And when I say on stage, I mean figuratively. The president of the United States was giving the State of the Union address, an address that is mandated by the Constitution, an address that the Constitution tells us is given in the month of January. The president addresses the Congress, the assembled, as well as the Supreme Court, and the American people. And that is exactly what the president did tonight. We're going to talk with a businessman, Mr. Raj Faneen, about what the president's words meant to him and what the president's words may portend for the future. The president says we're doing better. He says the country is on the mend. He says that we have a great opportunity here, and we're going to talk with Mr. Faneen here about that. 877-876-PHIL. And Raj, I welcome you to our program, and thank you for being with us. I know your son is there with you, right?
Phil, my son, is a 9-year-old boy, is here, and I'm very, very proud to speak with you tonight.
And where do you live, sir?
I live in Sherman Oaks.
In the Los Angeles area?
Yes, sir.
And you're from where?
We are originally Alexandria, Egypt.
You're Egyptian?
Yes, sir.
And do you have a business here in the United States?
Yes. We have aircraft. We've done installation. My brother came before the rest of the family. My brother came in 1996. I'm a little bit nervous.
And no, you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
My brother came in 1996 and started an aircraft installation.
Aircraft installation?
Yes, sir. And we have a good employee base, 100 people. And they do 2-3 million. The contracts are not a big contract, and we do a separate type of installation.
All right. Well, that's okay. We don't need to know the whole number on the business that you do, but I did want to find out and it's a family business.
Yes, sir. This is myself, two brothers.
And you are not a citizen of the United States.
No, sir.
Your son was born here.
Yes, Todd is 8 years old, was born in the United States, speaks Arabic, speaks English, and is here now with me.
And I know that he's going to probably want to weigh in a little bit tonight, huh?
Todd said he wants to speak Arabic, and that's why I'd interpret.
Sure, that's fine. That's fine. Does he speak Arabic? Do you speak Arabic at home?
Yes, sir.
And then, of course, Todd goes to school and speaks English.
Speaks English. Speaks Arabic when he can, because he's a very intelligent boy, and we have talked to him. He says he would like to speak Arabic as much as he can. And I said, well, in America, you know, you speak English, and he said that he knows that, but he would like to speak Arabic in school. Even if some people don't understand, just to keep keep his proficiency, you know.
Uh-huh.
And to...
Well, isn't he proficient enough when he's at home?
Yes, there's no question. But for him, he wishes to perhaps teach other people Arabic, to the extent that he can. You know, it's not... he has his lessons.
Well, I was going to say, that's a big, big mountain for a young... 8-year-old boy to climb. He does sound very, very intelligent.
Todd is our son, you know, and much of what we do in our world is through, for our children.
Absolutely. No question about it. And that's one thing that we all have in common. All right, I wanted to ask you, Raj, you watched the president's speech tonight, as we asked you to.
Yes, sir.
And give me your impressions. And again, you are a businessman who is a resident alien. You're not an American citizen, but you are doing business here. So this will give us a unique perspective on business from through your eyes. What did you think of the president's speech?
Thank you, Phil. I did not think much of it.
You didn't like it?
Well, no, I did not. I did not think much because I don't think he addressed things that we need. You know, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of business people in the United States that come from a different country, you know. And we are, I look to, you know, eventually I want to move my business back to my country. But I don't want to punish my employees, and I don't want to punish my business because I want to move my country, move my business back to my country.
Okay.
But Obama tonight was talking about he was going to penalize, you know, business for moving to other country.
Well, this has been a discussion in our country for a long time. You know, that businesses that are here are fine. Businesses that are moving abroad should not get tax breaks.
Yeah, sure.
And so you are in a unique position where you have a business and you want to move it back to your native country, but you still want it to, you want to enjoy the tax benefits here in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are just want to do business. In other words, there's no point for me to come to America to open a business, you know. If we don't get this benefit, you know, of being American business, so I was not thrilled to hear this part of his speech tonight. But the other thing that I didn't particularly like is though they is talking so much about. Talking so much about jobs in America and not speaking so much, you know, about the jobs that the business, the American business gives in other countries, you know.
The jobs that American businesses give in other countries?
Yes, sir.
Well, the political climate right now, I mean, well, so I would ask you this, Raj. Knowing what you know about the American political climate, do you think that Americans are going to be of a mind to care?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Well, why would Americans care about the job climate in other countries when we have such a bad situation here?
Well, because my business, I want to move to Egypt.
Right.
But I want to make sure I can employ people in Egypt. But if I have to pay more tax, you see, then this makes it difficult.
Right, but again, I have to ask you, why should we care?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's why I didn't hear anything from the speech, you know, that that this bastard, and I said to you that, well, bastard, you know, that means guy, you know, it's not offensive.
Well, I don't like it applied to the president, though.
No, no, but these bastards in the Congress, I mean, when they were applauding Obama, you know. I don't think they took into consideration what he was saying, because I have a business here, you know, and these bastards are going to applaud this when he says, I want to tax these people, they take their jobs overseas, you know.
Well, he said when they take the corporations.
Yeah, sure, they take the corporations. And that's what he said. He said, I'm going to tax this bastard. I said, this bastard that I'm looking at, you know. And
well, you know, can I interrupt you here for a second? The word bastard that you're using in relation to the president of the United States.
No, sir. I don't. I mean the bastards in Congress.
Even still, if you're talking about the members of Congress, in this country, that word is considered to be insulting.
Yeah, I know that, but it's not. Arabic, it means just a guy. It's like if you say, hey, dude, you know, or hey, man.
Hello, man.
I didn't want to get that. My son is asking if there's a problem. Phil.
Your son's asking if there's a problem.
Yes.
No, there's no problem. I'm talking with you. I'm not talking to your son. I'm just asking you not to use the word bastard.
Well, no, I didn't mean to the president.
Okay. I got to take a break here, Raj, all right?
Yeah, but my point is this, Phil. Before you take your break.
Go ahead.
If the president of the United States, Obama, says, you know, we have to keep the company from going overseas, and if they go there, we're going to tax. This is what he says to me. And these bastards that were applauding him, they stood up, they applauded him. And that hurts my business, you know.
All right, Raj Faneen with us, folks. Our number, 877. I'm having a little hard time hearing him, Bud, so you might want to jack down his whatever, you know, get him on another line or something. Raj Faneen with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And Mr. Faneen is a business owner. He is a foreign business owner. He is a citizen of Egypt, and he said that he... And we're getting a little feedback from him on President Obama's speech tonight, which he did not like because he said that Obama clearly looks to tax any company that is leaving this country and going overseas. Mr. Faneen is from Egypt. He wants to return his business to Egypt, but wants to maintain American tax advantages. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On the line with us is Raj Faneen and his son Todd, 8-year-old boy. I got to ask Raj where his son goes to school, and we're talking with him about business, and he's a business owner, about President Obama's State of the Union address this evening. And where does your son go to school, Raj?
Right now, my son is going to Harvard Westlake grammar school there.
That's a exclusive school.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, we want to send him to a good school. We don't like this public school in America, you know. Send him to a good school. And, you know, I'm not aware when the president, you said, has to give this speech.
I didn't understand your question.
Did you say to me, Mr. Hendry, that the president has to give the speech?
Yes, sir. This is mandated by the Constitution. The president must give a State of the Union address.
Don't you think if he gives a State of the Union address that it should be better, you know, than this one? Because what he said is he doesn't care about my business.
Well, you're in a unique position. You're a foreign-born resident, not a citizen. You have a business that you want to eventually move back to Egypt, and you want to keep the tax advantages of being an American company. And it's a sort of a unique situation, you know, because...
Why do you say this?
Well, for starters, I think the president and I think the American people, when they are thinking about the problems with the economy, are thinking first and foremost about American-owned business.
No. See, that's what I mean. You know, that's why I said this is not a good speech, you know, because when I looked at Obama, he gave a speech. And I saw the bastard that are the this Republican. They were sitting down. They were sitting down.
The Republicans were?
Yes, sir. And so you can see, even though these Democrats was, you know, making applause, the Republican was seated down. And what does that tell you? It says this bastard is not addressing problem of all of the people.
Again, I have to warn you not to refer to the president as a bastard.
I don't mean any disrespect.
Well, but it is disrespectful, nonetheless. In my country, I know in your country, or in your culture...
It's mostly cultural.
Okay, to call somebody a bastard is just to say, hey, a guy. But in America, when you say that, and in, you know, well, I guess a lot of countries...
Well, it's the difference between the West and the Middle East. We are much older part of the world, you know, much more deeper in the...
No, yes, sir, I understand that, but still, referring to anybody as a bastard is very disrespectful in this country.
I understand.
But the president, you know...
Well, what I was saying was, not the president. The bastard is that Republican... these bastards are sitting. And I mean to say that I agree. I agree with them.
You agree with the Republicans?
Yes, sir, because I didn't hear Obama say anything for me. I come to this country in 1995, and we have a business. And my son, you know, he is so... He's unhappy, even though he is born in America. He wishes to speak only Arabic at home, in the school. I asked my son to speak English. He does not want to. I took my son to see a baseball game where they beat a man almost to death. And my son said, Daddy, why you take me to this? Why you take me to this? To see the baseball.
Well, your son, sir, and what his feelings are will, of course, be guided by you and your wife.
My son, Mr. Henry, is an intelligent boy. So much of what we do in our family is guided by thought. He does not tell us what to do, obviously, but it is guided by thought. And when I saw the bastard in the Congress say, Obama, this speech is no good. It's no good. That's how I feel about that. And Todd, you got to talk to me. Yeah. Even an eight-year-old boy, when my son says to me that this bastard president, and I said to him, do not say that.
Don't say that, please.
Phil, I am not telling my son to call Obama a bastard. He did.
Well, then, would you... I don't want to hear the boy quoted. I don't want to hear him talking then. I don't want the president referred to as a bastard.
That's because you're a Democrat.
No, sir, that's got nothing whatsoever to do with my party affiliation. I'm an American. I'm an old-fashioned American. There aren't too many of us around anymore. I take my hat off for the anthem. I do the Pledge of Allegiance. And I don't like the president being disrespected. I don't give a damn who.
And I'll vote if he...
Well, I don't care what your son thinks, sir. So we're getting back to your company. If you want American tax status in Egypt...
I want American tax status that is the retro to the Bush, you know, tax cut. I don't want Obama. No more Obama. Because he's bad for the business. And if I go back to my Egypt... I want this guy to respect what I've been able to do and to be what I've been able to build in the America. And my son came to a baseball game with me.
What did you see? You saw that poor man get beat up?
This man, San Francisco Giants man, yeah.
That poor man, yes, okay.
Yeah, and my son said to me, why did you bring me to this? I said, this is baseball. And he said, why did you do this to me? I said, this is America. And my son spit. Did you spit? My son went, then if this is America, he spit.
Well then, sir, I guess you want to move your business back to Egypt along with your family.
Yes, but I don't want to go back to Egypt with the business. If Obama is going to tax me, you know, tax me right down to my underwear, I don't want to go back to Egypt if Obama is going to screw me, along with all these other bastards I see in the Congress to try to screw me. And that's...
All right, hold on for just a moment. 877-876-PHIL. There's a guy with a whole different point of view. A businessman from Egypt who wants to move his company back to Egypt but wants to maintain the tax advantages. of the U.S. tax system. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Cut! No!
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil talking with Raj Fanin and his son Todd along the way with us as we discuss Barack Obama's State of the Union address this evening. Before we get to some phone calls here, you wanted to make a statement concerning the president's overall, you know, his overall attitude toward business tonight, which you say was negative.
That was a negative, but I want to say one thing. This bastard on the Republican bastard, this bastard, Mitch Daniels, he says, you know, these bastards, they don't know what they're talking about. Because if you say you don't want to trickle down economic, I know that trickle down economic, that is Ronald Reagan.
Right.
That is Ronald Reagan. And this bastard, Todd, could send to the limiter.
Ask the Todd, sir.
Yeah, this dummy said, no, Republicans don't want trickle-down. How can you be a Republican you don't want trickle-down? And who is going to, at the end of the day, do for me when I want to take my business to Egypt?
I don't know that you're going to get a lot of sympathy.
I don't understand. I'm an American businessman. I pay taxes. Yeah, and Todd said...
Well, I don't really care what your son's saying, sir, right now. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here. I got Scott on the line. Scott, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, this guy here, now, what's he bitching about? He ain't even a citizen here. Now,
but I go to business.
Take your company
business.
Back to your country and be happy. Now, you want your pudding too.
I want to be able to get the tax break. What about me?
I'm a citizen.
No, it doesn't matter. I got a business, and I employ American, and I want mine.
He got a citizen.
My son wants to know, what do you do for a living?
I drive a truck.
My son wants to know, do you pay taxes?
I pay taxes every day.
It's done only.
And I'm going to listen.
My son says it's not possible.
Well, your son don't know what the hell he's talking about.
What are you talking to an 8-year-old boy there, Raj?
I know, but he knows the tax code. He said, you said my son doesn't know what he's talking about, but my son read the U.S. tax code.
Your son's 8 years old, and I don't think he belongs in the conversation. What we are talking about, though, is your business.
Do you employ anybody, sir, or are you only a person in your business?
I work for a company, okay? I pay taxes every week. So that people like you,
then you don't own a business. You don't know the hell that I'm living in.
I've already owned businesses. Okay,
but not now. You don't. Todd says you don't own one now.
Not right now, I don't. Now I work for somebody else.
Right. So you got it good.
I got it great. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least you don't have to deal with all of this crap, you know.
I get a low wage because they let companies go to other countries instead of keeping it here where it belongs.
I'd like to keep it here, but it costs me too much.
Take your company and go back home and your family.
Only if it's cost effective. God says that if you went to Egypt, it would not matter. If I go to Egypt, it's a big thing because I employ people. See?
I don't want to go to Egypt.
But
I
if
like
you
go
right
no, here
I know,
where I was born.
I know that. But if you went to Egypt to drive truck, nobody, it would be like a ripple in a toilet bowl, you know. And
okay, you know, the man's a truck driver, and we're not denigrating your business. Don't denigrate him, you know.
No, it's just that Todd said.
Will you forget about what Todd said? I'm not interested in what your son said. Scott, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, as we're talking here with Raj Fanin, a businessman, one of many who mulled over what the president had to say this evening in the State of the Union address. David on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, David.
Yes, how you doing? I'd
yes, sir, good.
I appreciate if you just hang up on that man from India, because if he's not going to respect...
I'm not from India. I'm from Egypt. I'm sorry,
Egypt. I wish you'd just hang up on the man. He has no respect for our customs, but he expects us to respect his. I don't want to talk to him. I'm just going to hang up, and I wish you'd do the same.
Well, You're afraid of me.
All right, no, we don't do that here, David. We don't have people calling and say, I'm not, you know, I'm going to run the show. If you have something you want to talk to him about, you can talk to him. If you don't want to talk to the guy, then you can hang your phone up, okay? All right, well, then thanks a lot for calling. We'll see you later. God. No, that's not that. But we're not going to have anybody on the show that if they don't want to talk and they just want to sit there and start playing producer, we don't do that. 877-876-PHIL here with Raj Fanin. And whatever good your son is doing here, I don't know.
No, my son, Mr. Henry, is a part of my family. And
no, I know that your son's a part of your family, but you are conducting a sort of, he's there as some kind of an advice, an adjunct to your appearance. He's giving you information about the U.S. tax code. What does that mean?
Well, no, he said Todd knows the tax that the truck driver is going to pay, you know. But my feeling is this. That man that you just spoke with is very typical of many Americans. They don't want to speak to me because I know more about their country than they do.
You don't know that.
No, well, I mean, what does it matter? They don't want to speak to me because I know more about the country than they do.
You don't know that.
Then why did the man not want to speak to me?
Because you just make him angry. Maybe he didn't want to get angry. You know.
Why do I make him angry? Because I have a successful business. I am trying to be a more successful business. And Obama tonight had a State of the Union address that did not address my problem. Obama talked to every American about every problem. And he forgets that there are people in this country who are not American, but they have a business. And the bastard did not say one thing about me. I have an employee. I have people that I'm responsible for. I pay taxes. But Obama did not talk to me at all. Now, what do you say to that?
No.
What do you say to that? My son has been laughed at tonight and to insult.
Nobody's insulting your son.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I have a business that is a good business. I am going to go back to Egypt, but not if I got to take it in the shorts.
I'd appreciate if you keep your temper in control.
Mr. Henry, ever since I come on your show, you have laid down rule after rule. I can't say this. I can't say that. This guy called up. He says, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Nobody wants to listen to me. Nobody wants to. My son is saying to me, Daddy, nobody wants to give you no respect, you know?
I'm giving you respect. I'm listening to what you have to say. I've asked you simply not to call the president a bastard. I've asked you to calm down a little bit, and I've asked you to, you know, keep on topic. And
yeah, everything is rule. Everything is rules. Nothing is Raj. How can we help you? How can we help your business?
Do you hear that you're out of breath? Can you hear that you are emotionally overwrought? You are that way, Raj, and you're not an American. Imagine what it's like for Americans.
No, you keep bringing up, I'm not American, not American, not American. All you know how to say. You don't say, Raj Farin, come to America, build a business. And now what we think we're going to do with Raj after he builds his business, stick it to him.
You got to calm down. I don't want that kind of anger.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know what's up, you know?
Todd says to you, you want to have your kid, you need it too, you know. You don't want to listen to a man having anger, but you get to have it.
I don't want to listen to what your kids got to say either. And I'm not being as angry as you. I'm not screeching into the phone ragefully. We can discuss these things, and I think you have a very legitimate position. That is, what about the foreign-owned business? But I can tell you that it is not one of overriding concern to the American people.
Well, then it better get that way.
Well, you know
it. It better get that way, because I can tell you, I got to worry about them. Every little problem they have, every American come in, start bitching and moaning about this and that. I got to listen to that. I come up with one lousy problem. One stinking problem. And they're all like, why did you go back to Egypt? Why did you go back to Egypt? Jesus. And the bastard come on, and you are not supposed to call him a bastard. But those bastards that in the Congress. Yeah, Todd says, tell me they're not bastards.
You know, Todd, your son, I've had about enough of. I don't like his mouth. I don't like his language. Now, hang on.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's right. Hang on, and we'll be back. God, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, talking to Raj Farin, his frustrations over the Obama State of the Union address this evening as a foreign business owner here in the United States. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Buddy, they don't care.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to get into some phone calls now because I think we've talked long enough, Raj. I understand that you have some emotional concerns, but you have allowed your emotions, you know.
I apologize, but I wish so much that you would listen and your people listen to my problem with my son and my family, and we miss our country.
You miss your country, and you're here in America, but you like
this Americans always say, you know, you make a lot of money here, why don't you go back to your country? I want to go back to my country, but I don't want to lose.
You don't want to lose the nice tax benefits and all of the nice stuff that comes with having a business in America.
Well, no, you don't get it. I told him, you don't get it.
What do you mean I don't? What don't I get about what you want? You want to be able to go back to Egypt and hire guys at 4 cents an hour and...
No, it's not at 4 cents an hour. Don't look at the machine. Todd says that's an old wives' tale. Not old wives.
That's not an old wives' tale. That's for facts, Jack. Cats that are working for nothing, man. That's what's going on with so many of the American businesses that go overseas. It's a disgrace, if you ask me. It's just an absolute... I don't know how they even look an American in the face and call themselves an American company. I really don't. 877-876-PHIL. Here is David. David, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I'm really trying to understand that, I don't think it's fair that respect. You're not even a citizen, and you have a business. And so, I mean, everybody usually. No, I don't think that's
so?
Right. You know.
Why?
So,
why not?
Why? Because you're not a citizen. How can you receive the benefits of being an American citizen? You're not even a citizen. Then if you go overseas.
Are you kidding? If you look at the Constitution, then you know. If you look at the Constitution of the United States of America, I have the right.
I'm saying the Constitution, but it's not making it fair.
You know,
I think that's something that we can look at once again. That if you're not a citizen, how can you have the right to have a business?
If you're not a citizen of America, you can still walk down the street and not have a man kill you. You have rights. And
well, if you got a green card, you can in some way get into business.
Yeah. What do you mean in some way? This is a man I'm speaking to now. I would venture to say, sir, you are African-American. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Why?
Then you and I are brothers. We are brothers, you and I. I am from Africa. I come from Egypt, you see.
I understand that. We fight
the same races.
I'm also American. Well, so if you
hold
want to
on
leave
for a minute.
Our country and get the tax break. Hello?
I'm here, but you don't understand. You're speaking the language of the white man.
Will you knock that stuff off, the white man? The guy's talking about his opinion
know?
As to...
Well, I am an African from Egypt. You know, that makes me African?
No, right? But that's still, you're speaking the same language I'm speaking. Actually, you're trying to do the same thing that the white man is doing as far as taking their business out of America.
No, I'm a black man taking business out of America.
Okay, right. And so how's any of that good?
Excuse me, Mr. Andy. Let me speak to my brother.
Will you knock it off with that jazz? Well, you know, we're talking economics. I just saw a black man giving a speech tonight. He's the president of the United States. You think he's only talking to black Americans?
Obama, I don't know, man. He's like a sellout. You know?
Oh, wow.
He's a sellout.
And you're not?
He's like, well, don't you think Obama's like a sellout?
I don't think so. I think he's trying to make it fair for everyone else in this country.
What about me? I'm a minority.
Oh, you know something? You're singing this song about being a minority. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to make it seem like you're an oppressed minority. You're making more bread than anybody.
Bread?
Right.
Get a load of you trying to be hip. Bread.
Who's trying to be hip?
Mr. Henry, he's all like bread.
Oh, man.
My son asks, what do you do for a living, sir?
Oh, I'm a drug counselor.
My son said maybe you ought to take some of your own advice.
You know what? If I was there, I'd smack that kid of yours.
Seriously.
You know that?
No, sir.
Smack that kid.
You don't touch my son. You never touch my son.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch your son, but I'll tell you this. If you don't get that kid under control... Anyway, David, thank you very much. You're a good man. Thank you for
calling us
tonight. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to Robert. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Mr. Fadeen. We're talking, I'd like to keep it at business and not a lot of racial politics.
I was reacting to the caller.
Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, so Mr. Fadeen, from what I understand here is that you own a business, a successful business, I would assume, and you're wanting to move it back to Egypt but still get the tax breaks that you're receiving while it's currently based in America. Now,
Yes. What
I don't understand is how you think it's fair for you to take this business back to Egypt and pay pennies on the dollar for labor and still get the tax breaks that companies that keep their companies based in America and pay the American workers to receive those tax breaks. What I don't understand is how you think it's fair that you should get those without having to support the American economy. And
because
while...
Yes,
go ahead.
It's a good question. And the reason is because I am a minority businessman, this is an affirmative action for a minority who is not an American citizen. In other words, it shows good faith of America.
No.
It shows good faith of America for an immigrant businessman to come to this great country and to make a start of a business, and then I want to return to Egypt, you know, to raise my son and my family, but still have American business.
Yeah, but are you hearing what this gentleman's asking?
You know, Mr. Henry, your voice is starting to wear on me.
And you're starting to wear on me a little bit, pal. Are you hearing what this gentleman is saying?
Yes.
Well, what he's saying is the following. You're an American business, but you're in Egypt. Now, you can go to Egypt and pay a guy 4 cents an hour.
I don't pay that.
Whatever you're paying him, you can do that. But that doesn't mean now you get tax breaks. Obama is saying he wants to punish you guys with taxes.
Yes, that's what I mean. That bastard stood up there tonight and said that he wants to tax my ass.
Yeah, and there's a reason.
Can you believe it?
I didn't hear you, Robert. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. There's a reason that he wants to tax you if you take that business outside of America.
Because he wants to punish the black man.
No.
Oh, get out of
here. Business owners. He wants to punish American business.
All right, listen, Robert, I got to take a break, man. Thank you very much for being patient. Good man and a good call, too, Robert. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Good Lord. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Are you kidding?
Phil Henry.
It don't matter.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, hour number two. A lot of guys say hour number two. I don't know why I said that, because what we like to do is make sure that we make the show inclusive. And if we say hour two, that means anybody that wasn't listening to hour one, they feel they've been left out, and I don't want that to be the case. We are ongoing. The Phil Henry Show is just an ongoing enterprise here. We're on the air, gosh knows whenever. With me is Raj Fanin. He is a business owner here in the United States. He owns an airline insulation or aircraft insulation company, along with two of his brothers. They are planning eventually on moving the company back to Egypt, which is where they are all from. He is a resident here with a green card and a business license, but was very upset this evening, Raj, I know, with President Obama's State of the Union address. And with him also is his son, Todd, an 8-year-old boy who I think we've had a little bit of a static here about that, because I think the child is using some language and contributing in some topics that I don't think he should. Anyway, Raj is on the line with us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And you were saying, and I think the clearest area of this, Raj, before we go back to some phone calls, is that you don't like President Obama's State of the Union address. You think that it did not address adequately your needs. Even with your company in Egypt, you want a tax break. How does that work?
Well, you know, look, Phil, and you're a good man, and thank you very much for being, I think, polite to me, you know. And thank you very much. You've been talking good to my son, too, and I appreciate that. But, you know, I am a father. I love my son very much. And he is a good boy, and he's also a boy, a very intelligent boy. He said to me, when we come back from the Dodger game where that man, that poor man, was beat up, he said, Daddy, I don't want to be in this country no more. And I said, I don't know what you mean. He said, Daddy, you can move the business back to Egypt. Get a relief on the overhead is much less there. And they get the tax break in Egypt, as well as keep the corporation open in America. I didn't understand. It was that boy, though.
Your 8-year-old son is explaining this to you.
Yes, sir. Yes. So that when I saw Obama tonight on this State of the Union, I asked my son, I said, what do you think of Obama and the speech? And he said to me, it's terrible what Obama is doing to you. My son was pacing and moving around the room. He said, Daddy, it's an abortion what he's doing to you. And I said, don't, please, no, Todd. He said, the bastard is not taking into consideration the foreign businessman. That bastard.
You really like calling our president a bastard, don't you?
No, no. No, sir. He was saying, in the sense that I'm getting screwed. Okay, that's all I mean.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to some phone calls here. Raj Fanin on the line with us. I don't know. I had Mary on line one. Let's see. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go over here to John on the Phil Hendry Show. John, go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me on. I think Raj is rather entertaining and humorous, actually, because he can take his stuff, pack it all up, take it all over to Egypt, and become an Egyptian.
What do you mean humorous, sir? What do you mean humorous? You know, do you own a business? It's not funny to me what the president said tonight.
I understand what the president said tonight. I was in business for 35 years, and the government policies that they enacted just a few years ago put me out of business. So you want to talk to somebody...
Yeah, he's not so funny, is he? He's not so funny.
Why don't you just listen for a moment? Show a little...
What you're saying... You're talking about...
You got to listen to the man, Raj. You're butting in a lot, yeah.
Show some of the respect you demand. All right.
Well, you will laugh at me.
Hold on and let the man finish.
I said I think your problem is humorous because it's based on misunderstanding. Not of what Obama said, but of our tax code. Maybe your son should go back and study it a little further. You can take your whole business and move the whole thing out of Egypt, out of America. Set it up in Egypt. Then you can come back in here and do business as an Egyptian company and have both sides of it. So you're not thinking this thing through, first of all.
Yes, I am.
The Obama administration supposedly doesn't like businesses. He likes only those businesses that contribute to him properly. And if you don't like what he's doing, then support his opposition. Quit whining and complaining and bitching about it. Just go do something about it.
Obama's killing me.
If you've survived it this long, all right, you're caught in the downturn that's part that was caused by the government policies that are in place today. And if you want to follow them back, I can give you a chapter and verse on the whole mess.
But you see, you're telling me the same thing. I just told you this guy's killing me, and you just proved my point, and you're saying I'm wrong?
I agree. But what I'm...
The guy's killing me!
I've already been killed for that expense. I'm out of business. I'm working for somebody else for the first time in over 40 years.
Don't give me
all that whiny stuff. You just stick yourself
whiny.
Up, suck yourself off, and go back at it and do it again.
My son asked the question. Who do you think you're talking to? And I said,
tell your boy to go back and study the tax code some more. If you want to avoid the taxes, work on that. If you can do that, just get out of the country altogether. Move everything that you...
Why are you not in business no more?
Listen for a minute.
Why are you not in business?
Everything. I went broke. I went bankrupt. Because of my business...
Well, that stinks.
Yeah, it does stink. Move all your stuff to Egypt. Set up over there. Get it going nicely in Egypt. Then you can come back in here as an Egyptian company and do business again.
Hold on for a minute. What? My son wants to know, if you're so smart, why aren't you rich?
Your son's a smart ass.
I was.
Yeah, he was. That's the key point.
According to Barack Obama, I was rich. But because of his policies and that, he put me out of business. The government policies put me out of business.
And you tell me that I'm whining. That sounds whiny to me.
I'm not
whining.
I'm just telling you what happened. You don't want to listen to anybody.
Right.
Tell you what,
I'm listening to you.
I don't even want people like you in this country. You want to be all whiny, bitchy, nasty, snotty. Go back where you came from. We don't want you
here. I'm not being snotty. I just want to know why this... That's the bastard who put you out of business.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're telling me...
I'm not calling him a bastard. You are. You don't understand the language. If you don't understand the language, don't use it. Okay?
I understand the language, sir. I understand the language. My son said to me, if you're so smart, why aren't you rich?
And I don't care what your kid says. Your kid's 8 years old.
I beg your pardon?
Make him the CEO I think your company would probably be better off.
You know something, sir? You're insulting me.
No, that's actually the funniest thing that's been said tonight. Put your son in charge of your company.
You think that's real funny, huh?
Yeah, I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think
and probably
needs to just relax, put the kid in charge. The kid's obviously smarter than he is. Let it be done at that. You know, it's foolishness. That he's talking.
You don't want to talk serious. You don't want to talk serious.
You know what?
And
if you were speaking about business in general instead of your own particular situation, there's a million businesses. You understand there's a million businesses been put out of business since this president and his predecessor, the last 2 years of his predecessor, when the Democrats took control of everything, they have put nearly a million businesses out of business. You're not the only one that's got problems.
Options, Raj. You can go to Egypt. You can go back to Egypt. You have options, is what this gentleman's saying, and you are saying that Obama's killing you. Here's a native-born American, you know.
Oh, great. Why don't we go back to the Know-Nothing Party, all the nativist bullcrap?
What are you talking about? What are you watching, Martin Scorsese, the Gangs of New York or something? I'm talking to you about your business goes back to Egypt. You pay a guy 4 cents an hour. You got, God knows, who cares how many taxes you got to pay if you're paying an overhead like that. Why do you still need American tax protection?
I want American corporation status for the marketing purpose.
He wants to get government contracts.
I am saying to you, it's no good for me to say I'm an Egyptian company because people are going to laugh.
Well, that's not my problem.
Raj.
It's my problem.
You don't yell. Don't yell.
I'm telling you, I'm getting stuck. This guy thinks he's funny, and he's a flat on his ass.
That's right.
And you laugh at me?
I did, Raj. I got picked myself up, dusted myself off, and I'm working for it again.
Okay.
That's all you do. Just
isn't
go
that
back.
Nice? That's a real nice little happy song.
Go back.
You know, you get your Frank Sinatra song.
All right, look, I got to take a break here, and this gentleman has been patient enough. I thank you very much, John, for your call. Very good, and very good advice, sir. 877.
Wait, every time
Oh, shut up. 877-876-PHIL. Back to talk more about Obama's State of the Union address with Raj Fanin. And I thought that was very funny. He said, why don't you have your kid run the company? Oh, my God. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, it makes a difference if you say, oh man, I am tell you about business, and a man then gives a speech, and he says, I'm the president of the United States. I say to him, okay. And then he says nothing to me. And I look at my wife, I look at my son, I say, this bastard said nothing to me. And my son said, he just said now, he said, there's only so much of that you can swallow in one night.
I don't know what you're swallowing.
Are you kidding? I'm talking.
I don't know what you're swallowing. The President of the United States gave a constitutionally mandated speech called the State of the Union. He has to give that speech. And he has to make clear what his agenda is and the State of the Union. The most important thing is what's the State of the Union? What shape are we in? And presidents have been giving that speech since George Washington. And he's got to be honest. And he's got to lay it out clear. Okay?
Yeah, and what he laid out tonight was, I have solutions, but I think I'll stick it to Raj. I've got all kinds of things I want to do for America, but you, Raj, bend over.
Well, you know, you sound like some cat that thinks he's got some right to something. I just don't get it. 877-876-PHIL. Andre, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Raj Fanin.
Hi, Phil. Hey, just
yes, sir.
$10 on. Sorry, Phil. I was getting gas. $10 on two. Just to let him know, he didn't.
What did that guy say? Are you getting gasoline?
I'm getting gas. But
yeah, I bet you that costs you a pretty penny, don't it?
Yeah, because I stay in Alaska. That's why it cost me a pretty good penny.
Whatever.
See, the thing of it, hey, but really, can you stop and let me talk, please? The thing
yes,
of it that
yeah,
you
please.
Should do is for one, nobody's disrespecting you, but for one, you should not have... Thank you. You should not have your son that's 8 years old in a grown-up conversation about tax, even though he may know the tax code or read the tax code, because I can't believe that he know the tax code really good, but he read the tax code to you. You should be reading it and get an understanding. For two, hey, hold on. For two, you shouldn't be calling the president a bastard, because what if the president got on the radio or the TV or the telephone and called you a bastard? You wouldn't like that, really. You're in America. He's the president of the United States. So you're in America, so you shouldn't be calling him a bastard or anything else. You could be calling, you could call him Prez, some for sure, but call him out his name like bastard? That's not cool, dude. So that's what you
should
be
doing. What about the Congress? Hey, what about those bastards?
What about Congress? But see, the thing of it is, you're on national radio calling them bastards and stuff, but you're in America, and you say you want to take all your stuff back over to Egypt if they don't cut you a tax break. Well, you got to remember, guy, it's a dude. Look, I drive tow trucks. That's like a poor man's job almost. You understand? And that's we
so
don't
you drive. You said you drive. Did you say you drive poultry? Did you say you drive poultry?
I drive tow trucks. And we're poor, too. We don't get a tax break. You don't see us hovering and crying, call the president's bastard on national radio. I mean, if you want to make a solution for it, won't you figure out a solution instead of getting on there ramping and raving, for one? And then on top of that, Phil, when I listen to it, Phil never disgraced your son, never disrespect your son. So your son shouldn't be getting on
the... Yes, he did. He told my son to shut up.
Your son should not be telling you, oh, well, nobody want to give you enough respect. Well, you won't stop talking to give people respect. So the way you get respect is you earn respect.
Hold on. What? My son says, what's your point?
See, that's what I mean about your son.
My point is, if you don't understand, your son is 8 years old. How old are you? How old is Phil? We're all grown adults. Oh, you got your son up at, 11:30 at night when he should be ready for school, even if he go to private school, public school, whatever, because I heard you say something about the school a while ago. School is school. Whichever you was, you decide to put your kid in, that was your decision. But don't put your kid in a grown-up situation and then act like everybody is disrespecting you, disrespecting your kid, because your kid is 8 years old. He shouldn't even be in the conversation. He should be taking a nap, getting ready for school, learning some new stuff for the week.
Well, my son wants to know, you drive a tow truck. What makes you so smart?
You know, I think your son's a smart ass, man.
Hey, see, that's your problem. That's why people always end up with from different countries always getting disrespected in a way, because they want to sit around and disrespect. Now, your son is talking about, what about me driving trucks? I drive trucks. So what? It's a job. It's an earning. You said you brought a job to America. So why would you, if you're hopping about the taxes, you should be trying to figure out a way to help everybody else, make him understand to get the taxes down. Give you a tax break, give the poor people a tax break, because everybody is suffering.
But you see,
you're talking about your business. You know how many American businesses that were started by American people that have left the state, that left the country, going over to your country because they trying to get a little cheaper. But when they realize that over there, you're being, we're not saying that you're doing it, but some of your companies are doing it. The other companies that are doing it, that making sweatshops, got the little... What if your son was over there working in Egypt in a sweatshop? Would you be talking crazy about Egypt? No, because
my son is not
going to your ass.
Right, my son... No, my son will never be sweatshop. Never. I will never let my son be sweatshop.
Okay, so our president ain't no bastard then. That's simple.
I'm Egyptian.
You're Egyptian, and you're living in America. But if you was over in Egypt right now, somewhere, maybe in a bad area, maybe in a good area, you'll be somewhere ducking a bullet or ducking a bomb.
Well, you know something? You're right. But why did the bastard get on TV tonight then and say, and if you go, all he did was tell me stuff that I'm gonna throw up.
Okay,
I'm going to vomit.
So why would you sit there and listen to him? If he was that bad, you could have cut your TV off, your radio off, your computer off, and not listen to it, and you wouldn't have to worry about it. You worry about it the next day when everything went by, not be sitting around calling.
Because my son said we should watch it.
Your son is eight years old.
You are your son.
We are the parents, but my son has read the U.S. tax code.
He's eight, man. What are you trying to give us? He's read the whole tax code?
If he was such a good businessman, he wouldn't be that illiterate to the tax code, because then his son wouldn't have to read it to him. Basically, that's what it breaks down to. Since he don't have the respect to listen to nobody, and then his son keep dipping into grown folks' conversation, every time Fielding talk, your son is dipped in and always in it. Then you say, "Well, you disrespected my son. You disrespected me." No, you're disrespecting yourself.
My son is the only friend I've got in terms of, he's my intellectual equal. My wife, I love my wife. She's stupid. She's just stupid.
Okay, see, listen to you. Your wife is stupid, but she gave you a son. She wouldn't be stupid to give you a son, huh?
She's a good woman. I love her, but she's so stupid.
Hey, if you learn how to respect a woman, then you make your kid respect an adult. Until then,
there you go.
You're just as dumb. And if I was your wife,
you're off the point. This is way off the point.
I'll take every last piece of your money. That's if your wife is so dumb when she divorced you and she takes your money, I bet she ain't dumb neither.
That's a good point. We got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL with Raj Fanin here as we talk about Obama's State of the Union address. The world famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
You don't understand. My wife, I love my wife.
She's just stupid.
She's an idiot. God.
Hello,
yes.
Phil Henry.
But say mommy is dumb. I love her, but mommy's dumb.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. As we're talking with Raj Fanin. Now, I know your son reminded you of something that you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I do, Phil. And I just want to, please, I love my son very much. I'm sorry if he has caused the problem. But, my son is, you don't know what Todd can do. You just don't know what Todd can do.
What does it mean, I don't know what Todd can do?
You don't know. You don't know what this child is capable of. And he reminded me a moment ago. He said, Daddy, do you remember when we took a vacation to Mexico? I said, yes. He said, do you remember the company? And I said, my God, Todd, you're right.
Definitely.
Yes. We were in Mexico. We were in Boho. I had my family there. And I look onto the beach, and I see all of these people, and they have a buffet, and they have beautiful torches, and they've got beautiful music. It's a beautiful night, the ocean. Just lovely. And I remember I said to Todd, and I said to my wife, we are going to have a party like that for our employees someday, And now, forget it.
You're not going to have a party like that.
No, we're not going to have a party like that. And I listened to, that night I sat out on the veranda from the room and I listened to see who are the people down there. And it was a car parts place.
You said I thought it was him.
Yeah, Todd said it was some joint that pushes carburetors or something. Huh?
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, fan belts, all this. Yeah, humiliating.
Why is that humiliating?
Oh, come on, will you? I want to have a beach party, too, and this is a company that makes fan belts?
So, times were flush. Automotive parts, are you kidding? That's a big-time business. That's a lot of money.
Oh, get out of here. This is why I can't talk to you guys. Obama is the worst thing that ever happened.
You know something, Mr. Fanin? If you're pissed off because some other guy did enough business to take his employees to Mexico for a beautiful vacation and whatever the hell you saw, that's tough, Car parts, you think that some cat that sells or manufactures fan belts, that's some kind of a cheap business? Everywhere I turn, there's guys riding cars, driving in cars.
You said your because everybody listens to radio, but radios not make no money.
That's because we got a bunch of stumble bumps running the radio business. As far as the automotive parts business goes, sounds like they're doing real good. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Raj Fineen on the line with us. Mary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Raj Fineen.
I would like to give Raj a short lesson in English. I'm reading from the Webster's Dictionary. Bastard, an illegitimate child. Something
right.
of irregular or inferior origin, kind, or form. Slang,
right.
a mean or disagreeable person.
Right.
Take that word from your English language because you're not using the language properly.
What? Yes, I am. It means guy. Or
no, it doesn't. It means bastard. I just read from the dictionary.
Oh, I know.
Which is
well, that's an English dictionary. Is it Egyptian? No.
No, it is an English dictionary. The word bastard
right.
is English. If
in
you're going to speak English,
it means dude.
Use it properly.
Well, I am. I am using it
so
properly.
No, you are not.
Yes, I am.
You
in Egyptian,
not.
It means regular guy.
Fine, then say regular guy instead of bastard, because bastard does not mean regular guy.
What did you say it meant? You said you have a what dictionary?
She's got the English, the Oxford Dictionary, right, Mary?
No, the Webster's second
Webster.
New Riverside Dictionary. It's legitimate, it is correct, and you
never
are
never heard
not.
Of it. Never
and you are a rude person. Well, then you don't read very much.
Well,
and
I do read.
And you don't
I read
go to libraries.
My son, what do you think? He says you might have a point. But the point is that in Egypt, when we think of an illegitimate child, we think of a regular guy because there's so many of them there. You see? So it's
what
not an insult.
Thank
it's
you
not an insult.
Who have been ill-treated by gentlemen, and I use the word loosely, like you.
Well, American women are treated much worse, much, much worse. Egyptian women, we love our women, and we put them on a pedestal, and we give them roses.
I don't
and
want to be on a pedestal. I like where I am. I have worked for other people all my life. I was very
well
educated.
Well, that's not smart.
And I now own my own home, my earnings alone. I don't have to bow down to any man, especially
where's your husband?
Like you.
Where's your husband?
I don't
where's
have
the...
one. I didn't bother with one. I did it
are
myself.
Are you a lesbian?
Now that is out of order to ask her that.
Hey.
Just because she doesn't have a husband.
This person, Mr. Raj, is
please,
the sort of
my name
person,
is Raj Fineen,
go back to Egypt and treat women as you were brought up to treat them, badly. You are
no,
being
I was brought up to treat them well.
And rude.
I don't know how.
And
why,
your commander
why do you not have a husband?
Not necessarily very good.
Well, by English, I can tell you this. At least I am bilingual. I speak Arabic. I speak English. How many languages do you speak, miss? Aha, you see?
German, French,
I speak...
German, I speak German, French,
good.
And English. Go away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right, sure. You know what I mean? Todd says pull the other one.
Well, she doesn't take much to prove it. She can prove it right now.
Go ahead, speak some German to me. I have some. I can speak a German. What is that, Emma?
I can't hear you. My telephone is flawed. I'm sorry.
I'm asking a question in German.
Alaska.
What is dein Name? I'm speaking German. She can't even speak German. She lied to me. I said, what is dein Name?
I don't think I want you to know my name. Thank you very much.
Really? Mr. Hendry just said it. Mary. So you don't speak German.
She just said what the question was. She knew what it was.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. She said, I don't think I want to tell you my name.
What did I ask?
You asked, what's your name?
Oh, well, look at this. We got another guy who speaks Kraut.
Watch the Kraut stuff, too, will you? Mary, I appreciate very much your call.
Mary,
you know
I want
what?
To say, I treat women good, and you have treated me with disrespect. In Egypt, when a woman treats a man the way you have treated me, yes, we do. We beat her. And you know why? Because when she disrespects me, she beats me. In a figurative sense, you know.
She's pulled your ego and probably classifies
she
you
pulled
in
my
the
pants down.
You
okay.
To be.
Right. Thank you very much, Mary. Appreciate it. 877-876 Phil. That was an asinine exchange. Wat ist dein Name? Here is Chris on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
If Obama is half black, then how is he racist against black?
What's that? Because the white part, in my opinion, is making him racist against me, an Egyptian, but I'm not sub-Saharan African. I am North Saharan African. I'm Saharan African. And so the black and the white, they both hate me. And they think I am a terrorist. With my son, who said to me, Daddy, let's get out of here while the getting's good. I said, why? He said, because in America, they beat up that man at Dodger Stadium, you know. And he's got other issues. And my son has always given me good advice on where we should move, where to set up our business, how many employees, you know.
So you're saying that he's doing this to Egypt solely?
Obama?
This is going to completely bypass Africa.
I believe so. I think Obama is doing it to Arab because we are Saharan African, not sub-Saharan African, and we are nothing but a bunch of towelheads who blow up taxi cabs, you know. And
so Obama is some kind of a bigot against Arabs.
I think so. Look what he did in Afghanistan. See? And
he went over to Afghanistan. What do you mean what he did? I mean, the United States went to Afghanistan because of... Have we got to fight this war all over again? I don't want to do it.
I don't either, Phil. I don't either. All I want to say to this gentleman is this. Obama tonight, when he gave that speech, it was basically saying to me, you, Mr. Fanin, and that punk kid son of yours, get out of here because this is all about America, not you and your green card. And I found that to be very hurtful.
Why did
he
say that?
And Todd also did say that, you know, Obama seems to hate sand blank.
All right.
Why do I think that? All you got to do is look at...
All right, get out of here. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. I appreciate it. You know what? I've about had enough of this nut. Obama's bigoted against sand blanks now. You know, sub-Saharan African as opposed to Saharan Africans. We're going to be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Whether or not I got this guy back on the line... All I wanted to do was talk about the Obama State of the Union address, and we've talked about everything other than that. I think what we need to do is get on some other political analyst. Maybe we'll get Harvey Wireman on here or Margaret Gray, can we, bud?
That's up to you, we can do.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking here in our final segment with Raj Fanin. He is a businessman. You made a statement here earlier, Raj, that I thought out of all of the silly stuff that's being talked about, and please don't interrupt me, a little of this came through as sort of, you know, made sense. You were talking about where Obama made his first mistake.
Well, you don't want me to mention my son, but Todd said to me, that it was Pelosi and Reid that first really blew it. They blew it bad. And Obama had to rely on those two. Now, what happened is he becomes a president and runs business right into the ground. But then he comes on tonight to talk about what he's going to do, and he doesn't mention me at all. What? What is that about?
What's what about doesn't mention you?
How's your hearing?
Get your kid out of there. I don't want to hear your kid again.
Phil.
I don't want to hear your kid again or I'm hanging up on you.
God, you got to leave. You have to leave. You have to leave. You have to leave. Go. Go to mommy. Go to mommy. You have to go. Go to mommy. Go to mommy. Go to mommy. Go to mommy.
Hey, Raj, would you...
Hold on. You want me to get rid of him, don't you?
Yes.
Go to mommy. Mommy. Where is mommy? She's where? Is that the store? Go to Zafina. Go to Zafina. Go to your aunt. Go to Zafina.
Will you get that kid out of there before I hang up on you?
God. Get out of here. Are you happy? You happy my son cried?
You know something? You are the biggest... Your whole family is one big drama act. Just one big drama act. Everything that's being done is being done to you. Everything that's happening is happening against you. I asked you to get rid of that kid.
Hold on. Go. Get out. Get out. You happy I talked to my son like that?
You know what? You got problems, man, and they go well beyond your business. You have emotional problems. So no.
I'm an Egyptian. This is how we talk to our family. We are close.
Oh, you sound like you got some kind of a screw loose, man. You're close. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Rick. Hey, Rick, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have no prejudice against anyone from Egypt, and I have my own business making music boxes. And that's the music box right there, at least one of them.
That sounds stupid.
Whoa, hold on.
It sounds kind of stupid, though, in the middle of a recession.
All right, okay, we heard that, Rick. Turn it off. It's driving me nuts, but thank you. It's very nice. It's very nice.
Oh, yeah, it's
driving
nice.
Me nuts.
What I'm saying is...
It's very nice.
And I make these, and so if someone gets discouraged with life, I'm proof that there's no reason...
You need to turn that off, Rick, or you need to turn the box off, seriously.
I did.
Thank you.
Yeah, well...
Okay.
It's something that I can do. And
this guy came on to plug his business, that's all. He doesn't want to talk about the...
Will you let the guy finish? Yes, Rick.
I'm glad that... I'm sorry that there's all kinds of sorrows in the world, but what I'm really saying is I could be feeling sorry for myself, although I'm blind, and yet I can still do something in a business that's very unusual and bring some joy to other people besides myself, as well as make some income. But it's not so much that I want to plug my business. I don't need to call you and do that. But I'm saying
that's what you are doing to Mr. Hendry, is it?
Will you let me talk to this man, please?
But he's plugging his business.
No,
so?
I'm not plugging my business.
You're trying to get the plug in.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable!
It's one of those things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That lady,
are you kidding
that,
me?
That lady who mentioned German, she would love this kind of thing because Germans love music boxes. I do too. But she
this
would.
This guy's
love
plugging
that.
His business. Everything he's talking about is his music box. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you. I know about blind people because in Egypt we have them begging for alms all the time.
I don't think Egyptians have music boxes over in Egypt.
Yes, we do.
And
we have blind people too. And they are begging for alms on the street corner. So I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
How do I know you're really blind and you're not just legally blind?
Oh, I'm a lot more than legally blind. I can't even drive a car.
Well, no, I know that. That's what legally blind is. But
I don't have.
Can you walk down the street?
I don't have.
Can you walk down the street?
Boy, you interrupt because you're so interested.
Will you let the man explain if he's going to tell you he's going to tell you to the extent that he can't see.
I just asked, can he walk down the street?
He's going to explain.
Of course I'll explain.
Go ahead, Rick.
I have what they call retinal fibroplasia. That's where the oxygen has come into the womb when I was baby. They put too much oxygen in the incubator, and it detached my retina. So, no, I don't have vision like everybody else does. So don't tell me about the street.
Why don't you sue?
There's no reason to. I'm older now, and there's no one to really get in touch with to do that with.
I'd find the guy that did that to you, and I'd sue him till he bled from every...
All right.
Who cares what you want to do?
I am telling you, as an Egyptian, see, you're blind. So you shouldn't be prejudiced against me.
There's more to life than being bitter. And I don't believe in being bitter. That's the whole point of my calling you and telling you, no matter what happens, there's always something wonderful if you can make it for other people to be happy with. And so I could be feeling sorry for myself and saying all sorts of things. But I'm not doing that. I'm working.
Right.
I'm working at trying to
make that music box
for other people.
You make that music box, and you're not bitter.
No, not at all.
What is that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Well, with him, it means anything controversial. He just wants to cause an argument, and I'm
no. I thought maybe what was the song that was playing the music box? Because it was me. I would make the song more, you know, like Lady Gaga or some kind of thing like that. You know.
Well, that shows.
Oh, what is it with?
That shows how much you know. The German lady. The lady who talked to you before about Webster's Dictionary, she would very much know that song because it was a German piece. Gott im Ersegetor. Brahms used it in one of his symphonies, and other people have used it.
Yeah, it's like 300 years old. I mean, about something a little more contemporary.
What? How old are you?
What about Kraftwerk? What about Kraftwerk? What about Scorpion?
How old are you? 6,000 years old?
39? I'm 39.
Well,
I'd like to hear Kraftwerk.
That's your problem.
Scorpion. Like a hurricane. You know this song? If you say German... There's no song like, what's the one, Phil? Rock you like a hurricane. Rock you like a hurricane. You know that?
Limitation. That shows your limitation, how you don't know much about anything.
You know what you need to do, seriously? Get a puppet.
I don't know what
they go out on a street corner.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
No. You aren't cutting me off. No, not now. Not the prime of my life. I had a point that
we'll be right back. World famous Phil... Rock you like a hurricane. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Rock you like a hurricane. You know that one. Why, you dirty little... Here I am. Hurricane.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're very happy to be with you. Thank you for joining us for our news and information hour now with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We go through the news stories, we comment, we try and make sense out of it. It's more difficult with these two nuts, but... every now and again, you guys have your points, so don't worry.
Yeah, can't just bleed into it like beating up on us.
Yeah, you got to give us a little bit of credit, you know. Sure, yeah, fine. I mean, I was just, you know, you're right. I'm sorry. Bud and Robert oftentimes lead me into a direction that I wished I'd never been born.
It's a good direction.
Don't forget, online at philhendryshow.com is our videocast every night. If you'd like to watch as well as listen, you can go over there to our videocast, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, and you can get a backstage pass, which enables you to be a part of all of the marvelous things that we've got over there. We have thousands of hours of full shows. We're very proud of our radio show. It goes back the archives, anyway, go back like 13 years, and we have as well our podcasts. We have, those are daily, and they are unedited. Well, they are edited. There's no commercial content, so if you want to hear the show as a podcast, you can subscribe there. And you can watch our 5-day video archive. It's at philhendryshow.com. Coming to our merchandise shop very soon will be some Bobby Dooley trinkets, I think you'll dig. So that's ahead there at philhendryshow.com. Demi Moore has been hospitalized. She appeared to be suffering a seizure, according to the story that I have here. I don't know whether this is from TMZ. Oh, it's E! Online. A female friend was at Moore's home when the actress started, quote, shaking and otherwise acting like she was suffering from a seizure, a source familiar with the Los Angeles Fire Department incident report tells E! News. The friend then called 911, and about 30 minutes after paramedics arrived, they determined that Moore should be taken to the hospital. Now, after being hospitalized, the Margin Call star opted to seek further professional help for exhaustion and to improve her overall health, Moore's rep said in a statement. She looks forward to getting well and is grateful for the support of her family and friends. Sources who saw Moore as recently as last week tell E! News that the actress has been looking increasingly thin, and we hear that friends were concerned about her weight. This is E! Speaking in that marvelous first-person journalism that those entertainment sites use and that can sometimes just drive you completely out of your mind because it sounds like they're being frivolous. Now,
yeah, it sounds like they don't care.
Right. Moore's rep confirmed that the star has dropped out of the Linda Lovelace biopic Lovelace, in which she had been cast as feminist icon Gloria Steinem.
Well, why'd she be Linda Lovelace?
Because she might be too old for the part, I'm sorry to say. I mean, we all remember Demi Moore. It seems to me that she is forever young, you know.
I don't even remember her.
Oh, why don't you stop? You know who she is.
Yeah.
You don't remember any movies she's been in?
Not really. Well, wait, Jean,
yeah. Who the hell is Jean? Now you guys are starting off down that road that I was referring to. Now I don't know what you're talking about.
Your G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane. Jean?
What was that song by David Bowie?
That was Jean Genie. That's got nothing to do with G.I. Jane. So, yeah, G.I. Jane. Boy, that good memory there, bud. Talk about a lousy movie. Are you crazy?
That movie was bitching.
Oh, yeah, sure. That was a ridiculous film. An asinine film. Who the hell talked her into? Who talked Viggo Mortensen into that one? He's a great actor. Great actor. I'm like, what am I saying? You know, I don't want to judge a guy's choices. I mean, the cat probably needed the bread. What the hell, you know?
Well, that's a hell of a thing about a great actor say, guy gonna do garbage.
Well, I don't know. Viggo Mortensen, the first thing I ever saw him in was at Carlito's Way. He was fantastic. Everything I've ever seen him in, he's great. And, you know, and of course, the big home run he hit was the Lord of the Thing, you know?
You didn't like all three of the Lord of the Thing.
Exactly. And,
What did he play, Gollum?
No, he didn't play Gollum. He played the king, Jack. The king. The return of the king, you know.
I don't know nothing about that. That's all white people stuff. Yeah, but you ought to look at it because it shows about a superior civilization. Hey, Mick, come on. Always try to bait on me, man.
You know, every time you say that, I can tell you, bud, superior civilization. I know that you're trying to piss him off.
I was just kidding around. I'm sorry, Robert. You always do it, though, on purpose, man. I'm sorry, I just...
Now, that's very nice, bud. Say I'm sorry to him.
I did. Say it again. Now I'm not gonna.
Say it again. Don't make him, man. You can't make him by putting your hands around his throat.
I'm sorry.
God. It's unbelievable, man. I'm not 15 minutes into this hour. You guys are already trying to strangle each other. So anyway, Ms. Moore, there's no question that what has happened in her life has been bizarre. She's had this husband of hers, this Ashton Kutcher, who... I have nothing, you know, to say against the man as a professional, but he was apparently seeing... In other words, there was infidelity in their marriage.
Yeah, but he had some chicks or something.
Well, that's bound to cause anyone, male or female, a weight loss and troubled... you know, it's really interesting because... I when you see a couple... And you think they're happy. And you just can't use the usual markers. Everybody thinks they know. Oh, do you know that? Oh, they're so happy. I used to hear that all the time, especially when I was married. When I was married, people would say, when I was married, and my wife and I would see some people, and, oh, I hear they're really happy, or don't they look happy? And, of course, I remembered earlier in my life learning a valuable lesson from a friend of mine who got divorced, and I said to myself, you know, I'm never going to be fooled again by people who look happy. I'm never going to be fooled again by people who are putting on looking happy because you don't know what's happening in their house. Everybody wants to look like they're happy. Nobody wants to walk around looking like they hate each other. People want to put on the look of a happy couple, you know.
Yeah, but if you ever read that Ashton Kutcher on Twitter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I read Ashton Kutcher's stuff on Twitter. I read Demi Moore's stuff on Twitter. And for all the world, you would see the tweets that these guys were laying out. They were the happiest couple in the world. They were very sweet to each other. They were very loving of each other. They gave each other little, you know, cute nicknames. And everything that they were tweeting, frankly, was very altruistic stuff. You know, they're talking about a charity here and a charity there, and please give to this and please give to that. So they were using the feed, I would say, ostensibly in a very noble way, you know.
Yeah, but it's boring for people.
That doesn't matter what... Sure, bud. What difference does it make, man? They had like 95 billion followers.
Man, they could say anything if they have a follower. Yeah, but it's boring.
Well, fine if it's boring. You came in here one night all thinking it was bitching.
What?
You were talking about Ashton Kutcher was tweeting something about a movie or something.
Yeah, he was talking about a movie and how they wouldn't let him do a trailer. It was great. I was following along and everything.
Okay. So it's not all boring. But most of the stuff they did was about their different charities they were involved in, and I thought that was a good use of, you know, who knows, who can say? You know, I don't know whether that stuff does any good or not, you know. But I've always said I've always believed this. If there's any good that celebrities can do, if there's any good that radio personalities can do, especially radio, it's making people aware of charitable enterprises. That, as far as I'm concerned, other than entertaining people, making people laugh, that's the only value that I got. If you think for 1 minute, and I've said this so many times, you know, people probably know this by heart now, if you think that I believe that anybody on the radio, including myself, motivates people to vote or motivates people's political opinion, forget it. It doesn't. One of the things we can do, though, is we can motivate people in terms of maybe their attention to different charitable enterprises. And so anytime I see people do that, I say, well, now that's a really good use of your fame and your fortune or whatever the hell you want to call it, you know.
But people know who they are. They want to check it out.
Yeah, like me. I saw this thing that Craig Bierko is a great actor. And I think he's a great actor, and I follow him on Twitter. Now, do you remember the movie Cinderella Man?
Yeah.
All right, he played Max Bear. He played, Craig's the actor that played the Max Bear guy that went against Russell Crowe's character. He's a fantastic actor, and he played that character to the T. And so I'm following him, and he says, well, on his little Twitter feed, it says, follow this to help a kid that's abused. So I go over and check it out. And I went ahead and started following it, because I never would have done that had I not seen him tweet about that.
What would have been somebody like a douchebag?
What are you talking about?
If it was a guy you were following that was a douchebag, would you have done it?
I don't follow any douchebags. What the hell are you talking about, man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, I think I'll follow some guy I hate. No, I follow people that I admire, so when they suggest something, I check it out. I guess I'm just human, you know, but I don't vote the way they want me to vote. I don't give a crap about their political opinions. I don't give a crap about any of that stuff. But when they bring my attention to something that helps maybe our fellow man, you know, I can get with that, man. I mean, that's the best way to use, I think, any kind of fame, you know.
What about you? You think you're famous?
I think I'm well known among my listeners. That's what I think. And so among my listeners, I may say, hey, this is a really good thing, or that's a really good thing.
Well, what's a good charity?
I'm not going to say right now, man, but I will tell you that we do recommend a site for if you are considering donating to a charity or donating to a cause that is going to help a certain situation, like when the Japanese tsunami happened, like when the Chinese earthquake happened, like when, you know, the earthquake in Haiti happened. There is a site that's called, I believe it's called Charity Navigator. I think it's charitynavigator.org. And that is an outstanding site to visit, and that will allow you to vet different charities. They are fantastic at doing it. They rate them. They will show you how much of their money goes to administrative costs, how much of their money actually gets to the charity, and what their history is and how successful they've been. It's very good. I would recommend it. I hope I got that site correct. Well, we can look into it. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Obama's speech makes pitch for economic fairness. We heard Raj Fanin screaming and crying about the fact that he's got to go back to Egypt and pay guys 4 cents an hour, and he'd rather be paying them 4 cents an hour here. For Romney's friendly code reduces taxes. This whole tax thing with Romney's pretty funny because people are just, you know, they're upset that the guy's paying so little in taxes. Well, that's the tax code. I don't know. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I guess they ought to be happy with Obama that Romney's not paid a lot of taxes.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The TRN Central Facebook page, by the way, is a good page to visit and to take a look at the different hosts that are on TRN and make your comments. In other words, the reason why I'm bringing that up to you is I've had people asking, well, why aren't you on in this market? Why aren't you on in that market? And we'd like to be on in all of the markets. And, you know, it's our radio show is just one of those radio shows that some radio stations get it, and some in terms of how to position it and how to place it and how to promote it, and some don't. But the point is, we're very, very happy to have you visit there and see, you know, ask whatever question you want in terms of whether our show is on in different markets. And I'm sure you'll get your questions answered there. 2 years ago, mega upload founder Kim.com joked in emails with his new neighbors in New Zealand about his bad boy reputation before telling them his criminal past was behind him and he was coming to the country with good intentions. "I'm a former hacker who was once convicted of insider trading," he wrote, before going on to say, "In all seriousness, my wife, two kids, and myself love New Zealand, and we come in peace." Dot-com's emails came to light on Wednesday, the same day a New Zealand judge denied him bail following his arrest on U.S. accusations of copyright infringement, and a U.S. official confirmed the arrest of a fifth member of his company. Judge David McNaughton in Auckland, New Zealand, denied Dot-com bail pending a hearing on February the 22nd on his possible extradition to face trial in the United States, saying Dot-com poses a flight risk. Dot-com 38 insists he's innocent and he poses no flight risk. New Zealand police, well, they found how many credit cards do they he's no flight risk. I think they found a bunch of passports in his name, and I know they found tons and tons of credit cards. New Zealand police arrested three other Mega Upload employees last week on U.S. accusations. They facilitated millions of illegal downloads of films, music, and other content, costing copyright holders at least $500 million in lost revenue. McNaughton is expected to make bail rulings on the three later this week or early next week. Now, just to catch you guys up on this story and what the hell is all of this, and you've been hearing about online piracy, and you heard the president reference it in the State of the Union address, as a matter of fact. It's gotten to be such a problem. He was talking about it in terms of China. The Chinese are, without question, running afoul of international law on a daily basis by not even policing their country in terms of copyright. There are things manufactured over there. I mean, they're just flat ripping off films. They're ripping off songs. They're rewriting things. Just recreating, for instance, whole works and calling it something else, but it's an obvious lift. And so they've been doing that for years. And it's been going on internationally, this kind of thing. And Obama was talking about this in reference to China. But the more pressing situation has to do with not China, but Europe, New Zealand, even here in the United States. Now, we do have a copyright infringement act called the Millennium Copyright Act. And it works pretty well here in America. And basically what it says is, if you are a website, if you host audio or video, if you link audio or video, if you transfer audio or video or whatever, you know, copyright protected material, if you're a torrent site, it doesn't make any difference. People have tried to get around this by calling themselves Pirate Bay. You know, people are still trying to figure out what the hell they're talking about. We're a transfer site. You know what? The bottom line is this. If a copyright holder says to you, would you take the stuff off of your site, and you refuse to do it, then you're in violation of the law. And if you continue to refuse to do it, then there are, you know, penalties, and there are also ways that somebody can redress this grievance or find compensation. Now, that's all well and good, but when a guy doesn't take the stuff down after he's been told to take the stuff down, for instance, Pirate Bay has long been an outlaw group that way, and they've had their offices raided by the Swedish police, and they've had their people thrown in prison, and they've had their people fined. This is a bigger thing. This seems to be a guy that the U.S. could get at. And what do I mean by that? For those of you out there who don't understand maybe the pressing issue here, I know there's a lot of people out there who are workers. A lot of you own businesses, or you have a small doing business as enterprise. And if anybody was to use your creation, if you build furniture, if you write tech manuals, I don't know, if you're working on a house as a carpenter, you know, and somebody swooped in underneath you and took the business away from you, I think you can understand what we're talking about. So this is something that's not just about big movie makers. It's about the little guy. Now, this guy.com seems to be a guy that the U.S. government could get at. Pirate Bay is a tough nut to crack. The Swedish government was very slow in acting. The Swedish courts are very weird. But in New Zealand, they kick ass, apparently. And the United States decided to build a case against this guy, one guy running this site, a significant amount of money, and then on top of that, sites that are doing business with him. Now, here is where a lot of people don't get it, and I'm going to explain this. It's one thing to shut down a site that is illegally hosting copyright material, copyright protected material that they're infringing. That's one thing. There are legitimate companies here in the country. One of them is a place called Cogent Communications. They were providing storage space for Mega Upload. When they found out that Mega Upload got raided and shut down, it cost their stock price half of all of the value that they built up in 1 year. It got cut in half in 1 day. Now, that's money, and you don't mess around with that. You can talk all you want about internet freedom, but when a company gets it in the shorts like that, what do you think they did? You got it right. They distanced themselves immediately from Mega Upload. They don't want to have anything to do with them. The same thing with a lot of file storage sites all across the spectrum. They want nothing to do now with any site that they think is illegally file sharing. So this is where the Harry Potter fantasy of a lot of these people separates from the reality. And the reality is, when you got companies that are shunning you, they don't want to store your stuff, and you are now isolated because you're costing people money, they don't have anything to do with you. All right, we'll be right back. That's as short a story as I can tell about Mega Upload. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Bob Bacon, who is live in New Zealand. And we're going to continue with this Kim.com story. Bob, take it away.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. We are here in Auckland, New Zealand. And quite frankly, Phil, where we were earlier in the day was in the neighborhood that that Kim.com was living in. He was living in a place called Coatesville, Phil, near Auckland. And apparently the neighbors said they never really met .com. He had sent them an email saying that he wanted to be a good neighbor and that he and his wife did not...
What? Oh, we let the music go. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I felt...
Go!
Kim.com living here in the neighborhood of Coatesville. This is a neighborhood near Auckland where he and his wife wanted to settle in and apparently just be good neighbors. He had sent emails to neighbors joking that a criminal neighbor like me...
Why are you letting the music?
I can't do these reports without the music. Do you want me to sound like a gibbering idiot? Hey, you guys there?
Yes, go ahead.
No, I can. No, I'll go ahead, but I can't do the reports, Phil, if I sound like a gibbering idiot. You understand?
Yes, I do. Go ahead.
Later in 2002, he received a 20-month suspended bag. Boogaloo.
What are you doing, bud?
Get the music up. Gotta recue.
The music's gotta recue. I'm sorry, Bob.
So you made me sound like an ass, huh? You made me sound like an ass.
No, the music has to recue. We don't have an endless amount of music.
God. The New Zealand Prime Minister John Key faced awkward questions Wednesday about how immigration officials could have granted a .com residency despite us. If you guys let this music run out, and I'm going to sound one da da boo da ba ba boo boo, one da ba 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 da boo 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 boo, ba da boo doo, ba da boo. You guys let the music run out, didn't you?
No, we didn't. It's a short bed, and we have to recue it.
Well, then why don't you guys tell me that it's about to run out so that I won't sound like an ass? In other news, but
it ran out.
Goo 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 goo.
He knows that.
Goo goo goo. God, I'm tired. I'm so tired of this.
Let me ask you. Can I ask you a question?
This is Bob Beacon. Go ahead and ask me a question, Phil.
So, in other words, Bob, my understanding is you cannot conduct your life in any way, shape, or form without this music.
Well, that's a good question. Bob Baking reporting here from Wellington, New Zealand. No, I cannot. I need the music, Phil, in order for me to have a life. I make love to your... If I make love to your wife, I don't make love to your wife. I make love to my own wife. You see, I'm already suffering from oxygen deprivation from not having the music. I must have the music. Must have the music. Bob Baking reporting.
I'm still talking to you, Bob.
This is Bob Baking reporting. Go ahead, Phil.
You have to have the music. Where is the music? Is it in your headphones?
Yes, I have an iPod, Phil, and I can hear it running out, you bastards. I can hear it running out.
What happened to it?
It ran out.
We got to let it recue, Bob.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
What was that?
Sometimes I sound like a Native American doing a shaman war dance of some kind. I don't know. Anyway, Phil, this is Bob Baking reporting. What was your question?
All right, so my question is this. You must have that news music.
I think I've answered that question a million and one. Yes, I've got to have the news music. Okay?
And when you leave in the morning and when you make love to your wife...
All of that. When I'm mowing the lawn, when I'm having a barbecue, I have a headset in with an iPod with this playing.
Does it ever drive you nuts?
Not near as nuts as it drives me when I start talking like a gibbering jackball with that whole... You heard it. Go ahead and pull the music down. You'll hear what it says. Yeah, see?
Is this a condition? Is this...
What is this, 20 questions? I told you the situation. Bob Baking and reporting.
You got to talk to me, man. Is this some kind of a physical or mental condition?
Well, this is Bob Baking from New Zealand. No, I have no mental condition. Apparently, it comes from so much practice as a newscaster when I was a little boy that I can't not be without this music without feeling fear, feeling insecurity, and feeling as if I can't go on. Bob Baking report.
I don't know.
Doing that?
All right, Bob, bye.
It's Bob Baking. We'll see you later. And
That's about as weird a thing as I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I looked it up. I tried to find it, and I tried to find it. I've done everything I could. I looked it up and looked it up. I can't find it.
Well, where was you looking?
I looked in a science manual, medical manual. I've talked to psychiatrists. I talked to a medical health practitioner. What is up with Bacon? How come he's talking like a fool and he can't have the music, you know?
What'd they say?
Everybody just shook our head. We don't know. We don't never know. Now, I got one idea, and I don't know if you want to do it.
Go ahead. What is it?
I know a lady in Miami.
No, not voodoo, okay?
Not the voodoo.
I know a lady in Miami. He don't have to know. But I go down to Liberty City, you know.
Not the voodoo, man. You don't know what'll happen. You'll turn the guy into the walking dead.
No, don't go voodoo on me, man, okay? I told you what that one guy said.
I know, but I'm better than that.
No, you ain't better than that. I don't even think I'd be better than that.
What'd they say?
Now, one guy said that if you start messing around with voodoo, you get addicted to it. No, I won't get addicted. No, I don't want voodoo. I don't want voodoo. We'll have to try something else. That one guy was telling me about how he was using some witch queen down there in Miami, and apparently she was so good at what she was doing, this guy got, quote, addicted to using the voodoo.
What do you mean addicted?
I don't know. He was just like, you know, casting spells on people or something.
No, man. No, he wasn't using it right.
I don't want to do it.
Okay. I got a phone number.
You got her phone number.
What's she under, witch doctor? I think she's in the Yellow Pages, yeah.
Get out of here with the Yellow Pages. She's a voodoo queen or something, huh?
No. I didn't say she was a voodoo queen.
Well, what's she in the Yellow Pages for?
Dry cleaning.
Get out of here. Dry cleaning. And the other thing is, I don't want Bakey and turning the radio on and hearing us talking about laying voodoo on him. You understand?
I told him that. He wouldn't listen to me. Yeah, I did. Don't make no sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make any sense? I don't want that cat turning the radio on to listen to us because here we are talking about voodoo. I could get sued.
How am I going to sue you?
I don't know, but he's probably going to lay some lawsuit on me like I was laying voodoo on his ass. Can you sue somebody for that? That would be a very interesting question. Well, it is a very interesting question. It would be a very interesting answer. That's what I'm trying to say. If you found out that someone was putting a voodoo spell on your ass, I mean, you might want to, you know, excuse me, but, well, it's just voodoo. Yeah, I know, but I feel a little uncomfortable with that. Oh, what, are you afraid of voodoo? Well, why are you doing it? I don't know. I just got a lock of your hair, and I got some of your sweat, or whatever the hell they need. And I thought I'd, you know. No, I don't know, and I'd rather you not do that. Give me my hair back. No, you threw it away. I would. I'd sue and see how far I went in the courts, and they'd probably laugh me out of it. All right. So President Obama, with that big State of the Union speech, you know, one of the things about the State of the Union, Union address that is never going to change is, for some people, it's a fascinating study in just the visuals. That is, what's Biden doing? What's Boehner doing? What are the people doing? What's the camera showing us? Nobody's really listening to the speech. And I've seen more comments about Biden. What is he, chewing on a lozenge? And Boehner. And, you know, we might do a little better if we actually paid attention to what these guys are saying. I say these guys, the presidents, you know. But he pledged, President Obama did on Tuesday night, to use government power to balance the scale between America's rich and the rest of the public, trying to present an election year choice between continued leadership toward an economy built to last, and what he helped irresponsible policies of the past that caused an economic collapse. I'll tell you the one thing you got to do, Mr. President, is you got to find a way for this country to get past the political blaming that goes on, because we're never going to get anywhere. It's just never going to, we're never going to get anywhere as long as asses are arguing about whose fault it was. And as long as that keeps going on, we ain't never going to get anywhere. And maybe there's some people that don't care, you know, but state of our union's getting stronger, he declared. In the last 22 months, businesses have created more than 3 million jobs. He pointed to renewed hiring by American manufacturers and borrowing the built-to-last phrase from the auto industry that he helped save. He sketched out, albeit vaguely, what he called a blueprint for economic growth in which the wealthy play by the same rules as ordinary Americans. Now, Mitt Romney reported his income, and I don't believe he's reported entirely his income. I think he still has to report his filing for one other year, but he was paying at the rate of 13.9%. Now, that sounds pretty good to me. And that's under the, you know, Obama administration. So while the president has been blamed for wrecking the economy, obviously, very rich people are still very rich. The hundreds of pages of tax documents released by Mr. Romney's campaign on Tuesday morning did not readily reveal any elaborate financial legerdemain or exotic tax shelters, while Mr. Romney's returns illustrated instead was the array of perfectly ordinary ways in which the United States tax code confers advantages on the rich, allowing Mr. Romney to amass wealth under rules very different from those faced by most Americans who take home a paycheck. Those differences leapt to the front of the national debate on Tuesday. Mr. Romney's tax returns were posted on his campaign website. Well, what were the differences? 547 pages of documents, the 2010 federal income tax returns for the Romneys, the couple's estimated 2011 return. They paid about $3 million in federal taxes on adjusted gross income of $21.6 million. The vast majority of it flowing from myriad of stock holdings, mutual funds, and other investments, including profits and investment income from Bain Capital, the private equity firm Mr. Romney retired from in 1999. The couple reported no wage earnings in 2010. Bain Capital and companies like that are a absolute study in what happened. I didn't say what wrong. I didn't say what went wrong. I said what happened to this country. I'm not saying, because I can't think of a law that you can pass in this country that says you're not allowed to go in and make money. But Bain Capital and companies like it are companies that they don't turn companies around, ladies and gentlemen. They go in and they sell off parts of companies. They go in and they fire people. That's what they do. Don't give me this load of horse dung. Because if they were turning companies around, we wouldn't have an economy like we've got, would we? They stick people out on the street. They sell off the assets of the company. They basically destroy the companies. Now, I'm not saying that because I don't like Mitt Romney. I think Mitt Romney's a fine guy, but that's what they freaking do. And when I say that's what's wrong, that is what's wrong. Because all of a sudden, we have ways of making money that doesn't do anything other than destroy people and destroy companies. Well, and the only defense that I heard watching TV was this. Well, that's capitalism. That's the rules of the game. Well, it may be the rules of the game, and I understand that that's how things work. Do you suppose somewhere along the line, though, we've lost our way on how to make an honest buck? That's an honest buck. Sure, it's an honest buck. What does it do? What does it do? These companies are like vultures. They just come in and they pick the flesh clean from the bone. So,
very nice speech, Mr. Henry, but it didn't quite get to the problem.
Well, will you listen to him? Man, listen to you.
I mean it, Mr. Henry. Very nice speech, but you don't understand.
Oh, really? I don't understand. Go ahead. What don't I understand?
That's capitalism, and that's the way it goes, Mr. Henry. And your speech is very pretty indeed. But it doesn't...
You get out of here. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Don't go away, or go away. I'd rather you not, but, you know.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Very nice speech, Mr. Henry.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And another guy says Richard Jekyll. And another guy.
Okay, Richard Jekyll. Richard Jekyll was one of the... Hi, guys. Welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We're just getting the cast members of Dirty Dozen, because we were... Why were we talking about Dirty Dozen?
But we're talking about... I forget. Donald Sutherland.
Oh, yeah. Donald Sutherland's pretty funny in that movie where he was walking. He's reviewing the troops. He's pretending he's a general. Nobody knows that he isn't a general. He's just pretending. And he says to the guy, they're very pretty, General. Very pretty. We were laughing because that's what you said to me, bud.
Yeah, well... What are you talking about? I was making a really good point.
No, you weren't making a really good point. You were mocking me.
No, you're making a big speech trying to be all pretty about it.
Yeah, well, you can't talk to Phil that way. It's his show.
I don't care. He can make a real pretty speech and say that it's all...
Shut up. God.
Real pretty.
What possessed you to... Very pretty, Mr. Henry. Very pretty.
Because you're not getting to the point.
I don't even remember what I was talking about. Do you?
No.
All right, let's take a look at the Academy Award nominations while we still have, you know, breath in our lungs, okay? Can we do that? Oscar 2012, Hugo has emerged as a serious Best Picture contender. Now, that's one of the stories. Oh, good Lord. Now, I want to just say on a personal note, I said this during our pre-show, that Gary Oldman has been nominated for Tinker, Taylor, something or other. I forget the name of the flick, but Gary Oldman's a great actor, and I think he's one of the best actors that I've ever seen, and it's about time that that guy got nominated for an Academy Award, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he was. I liked him in that one movie, the Professional.
Oh, The Professional, yeah, remember that?
Yeah, man, what was that guy doing?
He's busting amyl nitrate cap. Who the hell knows what he was doing? Crazy-ass stuff, man, crazy-ass. Fans of comedy could look at the 84th Academy Awards nominations and debate whether the seltzer bottle is half full or half empty. Half full, the comedies Midnight in Paris and Bridesmaids combined for 6 nominations, while The Artist, A Romance with a Light Touch, piled up 10 nominations on its own, including Best Film, Director, Lead Actor, Supporting Actress, and Original Screenplay. Half empty? Well, the crowd-pleaser Bridesmaids was left standing at the altar in the Best Picture race, even as extremely loud and incredibly close, a September 11th drama, jeered by many critics, sneaked in. Also, the edgy comedies 50-50 and Young Adult were shut out completely. Another reminder that Academy voters are more comfortable with movies that arrive with a sob instead of a wink. Well, what did the Bridesmaids get?
I think they got, like, Best Actor and Best Director.
Well, that's Judd Apatow, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Judd's a producer. Did he direct that? I don't know, but we'll find out. Here we go. Comedy hasn't been king at the Oscars since the Carter administration. Woody Allen's Annie Hall was named the best film in 1977, and its star, Diane Keaton, won for Best Actress, while Richard Dreyfuss took home the Best Actor trophy for The Goodbye Girl, which is really interesting because Richard Dreyfuss has done some great movies, and he did, you know, Jaws, he was great in that movie, and, you know, what the hell was the one, well, I don't know. But anyway.
What's that mean?
I don't know. I just didn't think Goodbye Girl was the best movie that, you know, he could possibly... that could showcase his talent, but I'm glad he won. So anyway, in recent years, Oscar gold has been tilted toward uplifting dramas like The King's Speech and Slumdog Millionaire, or grim social commentaries such as The Hurt Locker and Million Dollar Baby. Social commentary?
What?
The Hurt Locker? Anyway, comedies in general don't get their fair share of accolades, said Letty Aronson, one of the producers of Midnight in Paris, blah, blah, whatever. There's also the elusive magic of comedy, says actor Jamie Foxx, who has a comedy background but won his lead actor Oscar for playing Ray Charles in the drama Ray. All right, so that's great, man. So where do we get the damn, where do we see the nominees, man? Here they are.
I don't know. You want nominees.
What's the point, bud? Unless I got nominees, I want to see what... You didn't know I wanted nominees. Top Oscar nominees. There were few surprises in the 84th Oscar nominations. Find out if your favorite movie made the pack. Where the hell are the damn... Well, I apologize, folks. I thought we had this story, but apparently... Oh, here it is. Hugo, 11 nominations, including Best Picture and the director, Martin Scorsese. Then there is The Artist, 10 nominations, Best Picture... Best Director, Best Actress, Berenice Bejo. Then, the, we already got that one, The Artist. Then there's War Horse, 6 nominations, including Best Picture. Moneyball, 6 nominations, including actor Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. The Descendants, Best Picture, Best Director Andrew Payne, Best Actor George Clooney. And The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, 5 nominations, including Best Actress Rooney Mara. She was named after Andy Rooney and Wellington Mara.
Really?
No. All right, folks, that's all the time we have. I apologize for carving that a new ass. Oh, The Help, 4 nominations, Best Picture, including actress Viola Davis, supporting actress Jessica Chastain, Octavia Spencer, and it's all there online. Oh, and Midnight in Paris, Best Director Woody Allen. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll see you tonight. Thank you all for joining us. And remember, PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry.